Happy anniversary, happy anniversary.
I'm standing on the
Good morning, friends, and welcome again to another broadcast of the Solid Rock.
Las Vegas. This is John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning to listen to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. Today is October 1st, 2017. Very special day because this marks the 39th anniversary of this radio broadcast. 35 years of it live with Daryl Raymond. And hopefully during the intro you heard his good morning greeting there. And we've got kind of a special treat for you today, because since it is our 39th anniversary of this broadcast, we're going to go back in the archives and pull up a Labor Day broadcast that Daryl did, we think, back in 2012, possibly. But we're going to let you listen to Daryl this morning. But before we do that, I just wanted to say that we're done with our letter to James. We've been covering that for the last several months. Next week, Lord willing, we are going to be starting in the book of Ecclesiastes, back in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes. So you can get ready for that. If you want to start reading through that book, thinking about questions or things that you might have to ask about that, we're going to be spending some time in Ecclesiastes for a while. So before Daryl starts this morning, I thought we would have a special guest on here that kind of knew him a little bit, maybe not real close, but probably better than anybody else on the planet. So this morning, it's good for us to have Lucille Raymond with us, and I'm just going to turn the mic over to her and let her just talk about whatever she'd like to for the next couple of minutes before Daryl brings the broadcast.
Well, what a privilege this is. Good morning to you from me, and I haven't talked to you over the radio for about 5 years. So John has been conducting since Daryl quit after his 35th year. And we always counted it such a wonderful privilege to get up early on Sunday morning, get ready for church, and head for the radio station. And we just are so thankful for the good listening audiences that has always been there and is still there today. And it just strikes me, John, that even with television and all the mechanical devices that we have, radio still carries a lot of weight in our modern world of getting the gospel out and proclaiming the word to many, many people. And so we've always been so grateful to Lotus Broadcasting and John Wood and Frank Harnish are two people who spent a lot of time with us in the studio helping us with our broadcasts. And there were many others too, but they were some main ones. And we've always appreciated the help and the time that Lotus Broadcasting gives to the church at Las Vegas. We are local, and so that's nice. That's what they wanted, was local people, and we're local. So it's really fun to come over here and talk on this mic with John and just let you know how wonderful the many years have been with the radio work. And we pray that it will continue, and we want you to keep listening and plugging in to the good news of the gospel. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Lucille. Wow, that was a real treat, huh? And I'm sure we'll probably have to do that again as the years go forward here. Next year is going to be our 40th year. So thank you again, all of you, for listening. We appreciate your prayers. We appreciate your comments. We really appreciate having you come and be with us here at the Church at Las Vegas. So without further ado, let's listen to Daryl Raymond bring us a message from Labor Day many years ago.
And good morning, friends, and welcome again to another broadcast of The Solid Rock. Well, 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 this is Labor Day weekend, and tomorrow will be Labor Day, and it's the first Monday in September. It's been for over 200 years that this holiday has been set aside to honor the working force. There are a number of tasks represented in practically every audience that I've ever been in. But I'd like to say that whatever you do for a livelihood as a Christian, your main principal business is to spread the good news to people as you go. Notice what it says in Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus speaking here on the Mount of Olives before he ascended back to the Father in heaven. He said, "Go ye, all authority," in verse 18, "all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teach them to observe all things which I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Yes, the task of telling others of Jesus Christ is indeed the most serious and the most important tasks of all tasks. We're going to hear our first song this morning, and it's a patriotic song. It's the Gateway Singers singing for us, "God Bless America." Here they are. Beautiful song, Vicki Hunt singing there, such a beautiful voice. Yes, the work of the Lord is the most important task that anybody could ever perform. And every one of us, if we're Christians, that should be our number one task. In John 9 and verse 4, it states, "I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work." Jesus speaking there in chapter 9 of the Gospel of John. 1 Corinthians 15:58, of course, says, "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Then, of course, Galatians 6, verse 9 says, "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not." says practically the same thing in 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, verse 13. You know, the devil is out to discourage you in this important work of taking the gospel to the lost and dying world. The evil one knows that this idea of discouragement is weakness. He also knows that weakness leads to defeat. In the Galatian epistle, as we have already noted, it says, "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not." One of the big jobs that a preacher has to do, I believe, is to keep putting encouragement and new life into God's people, to get them to be excited, to get them to be stirred up, to get people enthused about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The work of an evangelist is a work. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5 says, "Do the work of an evangelist," Paul writing to the young man Timothy. Well, why do some people grow weary? How come they grow faint-hearted in the work of the Lord? Let's think about that a little bit this morning. I believe that one thing is that some people expect the wrong thing. When one becomes a Christian and a member of the body of Christ, he becomes so excited and that they anticipate, man, everyone's going to become a Christian. They just can't understand why people aren't just flocking to the church building to hear the word. They expect the church to grow as never before. They expected that all would be happy, no one ever be discouraged or sad or disgruntled. These are some of the things that have caused a weariness and a fainting, a discouragement, if you please. We need to realize what it says in 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 and 2. Paul, writing to the congregation in Thessalonica in the first century, he says, "Finally, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that you might be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." My, that's a good passage of scripture. Another thing, they accept Christ personally without reference to what others do or don't do. That's what we need to do. We need to accept him personally. And don't worry about what your friends are going to do or what they're not going to do. Then another thing, everyone is given the right of choice. Remember how Joshua said in the Old Testament there, Joshua 24, verse 15, "Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Draw near to God, James writes, and he will draw near to you. So important. Another thing I believe that causes people to become disheartened and weary, they let their feelings get the best of them. Matthew 13, 20 and 21. That's how it reads here. Matthew 13, 20 and 21. Good passage of scripture, and I want to share it with you here. 13, 20 and 21. It reads like this. He hath not root in himself, but endureth for a while. When tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. He is offended. Oh, dear friend, listen. We need to just put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, and don't let the trials and persecution discourage and give disappointment and dismay. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, it says, "And all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Remember what Jesus said as he taught on the hillside? Matthew 5, 10, 11, and 12. He said "Blessed are ye when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake." He goes on to say, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad." the great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. In 1 Peter 4, verse 16, says, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. Don't be motivated simply by your emotions. It's been said, and I like this statement, a level heart or a level head is more to be desired than uncontrollable emotions. Let me say it again. A level head is more to be desired than uncontrolled emotions. Christianity and following Christ is that which may bring trials and troubles. I mean, it's just bound to come. But remember, you still have 1 Corinthians 10:13. I've never taken it out of my Bible, and I hope you've never taken it out of your Bible. It says, it talks about being tempted, and it says that we are tempted in all points. Well, it doesn't say that. It says 10:13. There is no temptation. Yes, there's no temptation. My wife's giving me the coaching here. That's good. I need all the coaching I can get. There is no temptation taking you, but such is this common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able to bear. I think that's absolutely fantastic. Another thing, I believe that some people forget God's part and what man's part is. The church was in existence before we came along, and will probably be existing after we're gone. Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, upon this rock, the rock that he is the Christ, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. The gospel was preached before you were born, and it will continue, no doubt. I think of an instance in history found in 1 Kings 19, verse 4, 10, and 18, the story of Elijah. So adamant, so strong was he, and so dismayed, distraught, discouraged that he wanted to die, in verse 4. And then in verse 10, it says, I, only I, am left to serve you. What was told him when he said that? Well, he said, yet 7,000 I have who are left, who have not bowed their knee to Baal. Remember, God remains in control. He is the head of the church, Ephesians 1:22. We need to just keep our eyes upon him. Right now, let's hear another song. This song is also sung by the Gateway Singers of Centerville, Iowa. And they're singing for us a song, Give Them All to Jesus. Your troubles, your trials, your difficulties, give them all to Jesus. Listen, hear him sing.
Are you tired of chasing pretty rainbows? Never said there'd only be about the very things that once brought song that is, give them all to Jesus. So I believe that people do forget God's part and what man's part is. Another thing, some people grow tired and weary and faint because they fail to enjoy the good things of living for Jesus Christ. All they can see is there's nothing to rejoice about. Nothing to be thankful for, always grumbling. They see sinners, they don't see the saints. They see sin, not righteousness. They see Christ rejectors, not those who come out of the darkness into the light. All they see are obstacles and barriers, no progress. Friends, who wouldn't get discouraged and tired and weary in the work in such an atmosphere? Oh, we need to remember the joys of prayer meetings, the joy of service, the anticipation of an eternal reward. Remember what it says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's a lot of things we do in life. It's sort of penny, it's sort of empty, it's sort of, it doesn't pay off, you might say. Well, we need to realize that the work of the Lord will not fail. Over in 1 John 2:17, where it says, the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Oh, dear friend, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Friend, are you discouraged today? If so, is it because of some of these things we've mentioned this morning? If that be the case, won't you share yourself? Shake yourself out of that weakening element. I mean, turn aside from it. If you don't know why you've grown weary and tired and distraught and discouraged and downhearted, oh, search for the cause today. Like it says, be not weary in well-doing, but in due season you shall reap if you faint not. It's so true. It's so true, dear friend. You will come out the victor in the end. Don't get discouraged. This is Labor Day weekend. Tell someone about Jesus Christ. Get involved in the work of the Lord. The greatest work in the whole world is to tell others about Jesus Christ. I've never seen a person who is busy telling others about Christ who is downhearted, discouraged, and distraught. If you're busy talking to others about Christ, God will bless you, and your chin will be lifted up.
right now we're going to hear another song. And this song is a great song, and it's sung for us by the Harding University Choir back in Searcy, Arkansas, a cappella style. And they're singing the song "Because He Lives." Listen to them sing. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. What a wonderful, wonderful thought that is in song. Sung for us by the Searcy, Arkansas Harding University Choir. Annie Johnson Flint wrote, "We are the only Bible the careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message, written in deed and word. What if the line is crooked? What if the type is blurred? Oh, dear friend, let's live our lives in such a way that people will be able to see the love of the Lord in our lives, in the way we walk and the way we talk from day to day. Till next week, dear friends, keep standing on the solid rock."